so that there's something going on. We are going to continue in Mark's gospel today, and we're going to talk about authority again. We've covered this topic before, and in that way, the words of greeting that I wanted to share today looks to the future, a time set by the Father according to Scripture, and the greeting comes to us today from Revelation chapter 1, where the apostle says, "Grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Amen." So today I wanted to start with something a little bit different, and more directed to our younger audience. It's a time that I really enjoy with you guys. So for those of you who are here, you know that I kind of enjoy Lego. So this is a set that I came across of the International Space Station. It was designed in 2003. And solar panels and the housing module and a little shuttle and that kind of thing. And it's kind of fun, and I think. And one of the things about me is that I like to build models and display them for a while. And maybe a lot of you are like that too. As a matter of fact, and now we're just going to shift the camera angle here. As a matter of fact, I was working on something else this morning. I think you can see it there. Stay microphone. Stay. There we go. So I got my instruction book here, and it's just a little kit, and I wanted to make sure it was all complete, you know, for my grandkids. If I give this to one of them, and I probably will. So it's just a little it's a little truck. So I'm putting it here. Then I'm putting together. And I know for some of us, better angle. I need a better angle there. This camera isn't making me happy. Oh, well, doesn't matter. For some of us, building the models and then just having them built is enough fun in and of itself. See, we're getting there. There's kind of a bucket scooper that goes in the front. And we even have a guy who will drive the vehicle. But the thing is, once it's built, some of us, well, we're actually not really satisfied with leaving it at that. Again, there we go. Once we've got it built and, you know, put the wheels on and whatnot, it's fine, but you don't want to just display it on the shelf. You'd actually like take it apart and build something else with it, which is kind of cool. So I want to show you something else. This was a present I got for Christmas. It came with its own instruction sheets. My son did these up. So step by step to build this. So if you can see it there, that is three people in a yellow kayak, and that is a kayak that we own. And they are, there we go. If you didn't see it before, that is a crab. So off we are crabbing. Now, why they gave me, I've got to work out this, why they gave me face hair and no head hair is beyond me, but that's what they did. The guy in the front, his name is Lucas, and the guy in the back, his name is Lyndon. And last summer we went out crabbing together, and they made this for me. They made their own kit out of pieces they had and gave it to me for Christmas, which was really cool. And I'm showing you that because some of you really like the sets. That's your thing. You enjoy that. And some of you like the sets, but also like building things. And I want you to know that imagination, like what my two grandkids did for me and my son, it's a gift. It's a gift we're given to be creative. It's something that God has given to us to do and to use and to be a gift to other people. And one of the things about what's happening right now, because I didn't watch the video from your school, but I know most of you, if not all of you, will be staying home from school again tomorrow and learning how to do school in a different way. Just like taking parts from a Lego kit and putting them together in a different way. It'll still work, but it'll be different. And that'll take some getting used to. Just like doing church, like we're doing it right now. It's different, but it still works. And we're finding out how to do it the best way that we can. And so for you guys, boys and girls, that, you kind of go with this. Find new ways to do things. Your school, how you helping your mom and dad, your parents at home. Some of them are working and working from home. And that makes it just that much more challenging for everybody to find new ways to do things. But you'll be able to. Because when God gives us gifts, he gives us the ability to use them and use them to help others. And so, happy building. I'm going to pray for you and then carry on to the rest of our time. Father, thank you for our boys and girls. Thank you for who they are and the challenges that they have in this time. Not just to stay healthy, but to live a different rhythm. Because it's not summer. They can't just go where they like to parks or to fun places with lots of people. It'll be home and it'll be school in a different way. So please bless them, bless our parents, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I have just a couple more announcements. Just a reminder that when the connector comes out on Thursday, that's our email update newsletter, please take a look. The link for service will always be there. Other information, we'll be posting videos of important information from deacons, from council, things that matter. And one of those things, we just didn't have it in place today, is a reminder that we're continuing to support causes week to week. And the cause that was designated for this week is the Victoria Women's Transition House Society, and they support women and children fleeing domestic violence and abuse. They have a 24-hour crisis line, an emergency shelter, offer counseling to help women and their children develop a safety plan, build self-esteem, support, and provide education for families who have been affected by domestic violence. And again, on our church website, you can find ways and means to forward your support, financial support to them. And I just encourage you to take a look at that as we go. All right. I'm going to turn now to the text, three texts that I had planned for today. We are continuing with Mark's gospel, moving toward Good Friday, Easter, moving toward the cross. And today's text really touches in on that. And so what I'm going to do, because I don't have the benefit of PowerPoint to kind of keep us tracking together more simply, is I'm going to read part of the text. And we'll start with Mark 11, 27 to 33. So if you have a Bible, open another window on your computer screen, your device, Mark 11, 27. I'm going to read that part and then talk about a little bit, kind of draw out what I think are some of the important points. And then we'll move on to the next text. But it's all under the same theme. This is Jesus' last trip to Jerusalem. And we read this. They arrived again in Jerusalem, and while Jesus was walking in the temple courts, The chief priests and the teachers of the law and the elders came to him. "By what authority are you doing these things?" they asked. "And who gave you authority to do this?" And Jesus replied, "I'll ask you one question. Answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I am doing these things. John's baptism, was it from heaven or of human origin? Tell me." They discussed it among themselves and said, "If we say from heaven, he will ask, then why didn't you believe him? But if we say of human origin," they feared the people, for everyone held that John really was a prophet. So they answered Jesus, "We don't know." Jesus said, "Neither will I tell you by authority I am doing these things." And so there it is, questions of authority, and they're all there. Chief priests, teachers of the law, the elders, that's the Sanhedrin, the ruling council of Israel at the time. And up until now, through the gospel, they have been witnessing Jesus teaching about and demonstrating the kingdom of God. And as obvious as those things have been, the healings, the exorcisms, and the way Jesus ties the promises of Messiah to his work and his mission, people are still divided. Some say that he is legit, like John the Baptist was. John the Baptist was a prophet, and this is a miracle worker, and he's legit, and we need to pay attention to him. Some still think he's just a celebrity. Jesus will have an encounter with King Herod, and Herod just wants to watch him walk on water. Just, like, show it to me. Some think he's a fraud. And now we get to the question, to the group that was asking him this question. And some think he is a threat to the status quo, that he is subverting the faith of the fathers, that he is subverting the power of the temple and those who have been placed in authority over it. And so they ask him, "By what authority are you doing these things?" And I'm not really sure what their motive is. We do know that later on they'll accuse him of blasphemy, of declaring himself God, and bring charges on that basis. So are they looking for one more chance to accuse him and prosecute, or are they really curious? And it's both. And so he gives them this answer. And typical of Jesus, he doesn't answer a straight question, a question with a straight answer. In most cases, he will in a minute, but not now. So he asks him, "Is what I'm doing of God, or is it just human?" And they don't want to answer. But the question that kind of comes to me is, why? Why are they so uncertain? Why are they so fearful? Why are they so suspicious of him? They've seen it. They've heard it. They've recognized Jesus' ability with Scripture. Why is there no spark of conviction? And we have to remember the story is being told from the perspective of before the Spirit comes at Pentecost. And that's a factor here, more for us than for them, because they had the inspired word of God. They believed, and it's written in the letter to Timothy, that all scriptures God breathed, and it's referring to the Old Testament. They had the scriptures. They knew the promises about Messiah. Why? Why? So the thing is, despite having this gift of scripture, the leaders refused to accept, to trust Jesus as Messiah, to trust the wisdom of God walking, literally walking among them. They just took his words as advice, as another option, and for some, a challenge. And I wonder today if it's really a whole lot different. Because without the Spirit, when people hear Jesus teaching or read the Bible or witness the kingdom come, often what they end up with is, well, that's good advice. That's good moral behavior. It's just another opinion. But with the Spirit's power and revelation. People hear the truth. There's conviction. Sometimes it's a conviction that leads to rejection, of what they've been confronted with. But sometimes, many times, and those of us who follow Christ know this personally, is there is conviction and there is faith and there is belief. Jesus is Messiah. He is the answer. And what I hear in Jesus' answer, what's behind it, is a certain kind of longing. A longing for the Spirit to come, for the truth of God to be revealed. It's a longing that's deep enough and powerful enough and overwhelming enough that it will lead him to willingly go to the cross. Because he wants to see the Spirit come to fill and grant peace to human hearts, reconciliation to the world. And so our question is, how much does the church today long for the Spirit to come to reveal Christ to the world? How deep is our longing? How intense is our prayer? Come, Holy Spirit, reveal God's truth in me and through me to the people that I come in contact with, the people who are already in my life. How deep? The next section is Mark 12, 28 to 34. Continuing on the story, one of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," Jesus answered, "Jesus, is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater commandment than these." "Well said, teacher," the man replied. "You are right in saying that God is one, and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions. You are not far from the kingdom of God. Confirming, I think, Jesus' longing. Last week, we talked about the rich young ruler, and Jesus looked at him, drank him in, scrutinized him, and loved him. And I feel the same is going on in this story. It's a good question this man asks. And while divisions and differences of opinion exist in who is Jesus, this is a man who is hopeful, who's trying to understand Jesus and his ministry. He asks a good biblical question. He gets a good biblical answer, and he accepts it. And by doing this, he's broken ranks. He separated himself. Jesus has said that God is one, the love commandment, that's the heart of Old Testament scripture. So in this man's view, Jesus is orthodox. He is following the way of Yahweh, the law of Moses. He's legit. So he's broken ranks. He is willing to listen with a soft heart, a heart soft toward the Spirit. Willing to consider new ways to live old truths. And he has to, because he's seen Jesus' demonstration and Jesus' teaching. He's seen that Jesus has broken the Sabbath rules in place at that time. He's broken the ritual purity rules that were in place at that time. He's broken the separation rules that were in place at that time. These were not rules laid down by Moses. These were rules that came out of the law of Moses, but adapted and refined and restricted into something that God never intended. Sabbath is made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Sabbath is supposed to be a gift. Purity is about our lives, not just washing our hands. As important as washing our hands is right now, what's in the heart, what's inside of us, our motives and our attitudes is more important still. And this elitism, this separation between the sinners, as we hear in the Gospels, and the religious enough folk, that was never to be either. This teacher of the law has been, he's broken ranks with those who are building a kingdom by their own rules and traditions, through their power and position, through their rules and regulations, through intimidation and fear. They threaten people. If you don't do it our way, you cannot be part of us. And so ultimately what they're doing is building their own kingdom, not God's kingdom. But this man and many like him, under the guidance of the Spirit, will serve in and for God's kingdom. And so, like all of us who are willing and ready to serve in God's kingdom, ready to expect the unexpected of God showing up when we least expect, willing to believe that the kingdom of God is much bigger than we often expect or imagine. People open to understand and accept that the kingdom is open to more people than we have often been led to believe. But most importantly, that the kingdom of God is not under human control. We are servants, not bosses. But again, I have no doubt that Jesus looked at these men, not just the man who asked the question, but the group of them, and prayed for them. I'm convinced that his desire for them is that they would live out their calling faithfully, that they would serve God and his people, all people, the way God had already intended, demonstrating God's justice, his compassion, his welcome, his hospitality. Because if it's of God, it's good, and it's available to all. And so when I read this section, when I compare and contrast the reactions of these leaders, it reminds me how important it is to pray for those who are in authority over us, for our leaders. And maybe the word authority doesn't apply to those who are leaders in the corporate world, but they're still leaders in our lives, directing much of what's going on. So there's our religious leaders, our political leaders, our corporate leaders, people who have been given office. And we're called to pray for them, to ask God that the kingdom would come through them, even if they don't acknowledge Christ. Because that really isn't the point. God can use whom God will to provide what is good for people. And I think we've seen a lot of that over the years, possibly even now. And I think this section is also a reminder to pray for our own obedience to civil authorities. Not because we're afraid of getting a speeding ticket or a fine, but as a clear expression of our faith. I'm not enjoying self-isolating. I'm not enjoying social distancing. I don't think anybody is. We are made for human contact and interaction, to be in each other's presence. But to dismiss either of these things on the basis of, I think I know it better, or it's a violation of my rights, or I think it's silly, is dangerous. And it's disobedience. I cringed a little bit on Friday evening when Dr. Bonnie Henry gave us the update and she was cautiously optimistic. And I thought, I pray that that won't be an excuse for people to say, oh, okay, good. We don't have to do this anymore. I know that this may not be a perfect strategy. Human policies never are. But we've been given leaders so we don't have anarchy. And anarchy is just every person for themselves. We've been given leaders for our good. So again, how deep is our longing for good leadership? I think it's pretty deep. And how deep is our commitment to do all we can to support God's work in providing good leadership to us through flawed human beings like us? The last section is from John 2. It's a parallel scene of Jesus being in the temple courts. He's just cleared the temple of the flea market, upturned tables, and he's been asked again by what authority he's doing it. And we read there, chapter 2, verse 19, Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days." And the leaders replied, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you're going to raise it in 3 days?" But the temple he had spoken of was his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said. Then they believed the scripture and the words that Jesus had spoken. See, again, after he's raised from the dead, after the Spirit comes, then there's revelation. It's like, oh, that was what he was talking about. And what he's talking about is the grand vision of God. It's revealed. It's revealed in his words and then confirmed in his resurrection. See, the temple had become a place of convenience, a place to do business, a place to meet and greet, a place to make sure that the religious leadership was, keeping the faith going, a place to pay your religious dues. And the temple was never supposed to be that. It was supposed to be a place of prayer, a place of gathering, a place of being aware of God's presence in a unique sort of way. But God was never limited to a building. That was never part of it. And faith is not limited to a building either. See, when we gather for worship in this building on a Sunday morning, it's a good thing. Just like the temple was intended as a good thing. Coming together to worship, that is a God-focused experience. It's a gift. For community building, for identity formation, for faith formation, to acknowledge God's presence among us. The gathering for worship does not require a building. It depends on presence, the presence of the Spirit and the presence of each other. Otherwise, it's just personal worship, which is a good thing too. See, right now, YouTube is our medium for gathering. And it is a gathering, a virtual community of people. I'm watching the chat bar, and there's people. You are my people, my family, the people I know and I care about. And you're present, and we're connected, just as we experienced last week and as long as this season will last. I don't want it to be the new normal.
But at the same time, it seems to me that some of us aren't physically able always to come here. So maybe we need to investigate doing more for those who are unable to attend, filming, I don't know. But the point is, we are not unified by our brand or by our building, by our social economic status, by any external factors. We are united by the Spirit. In Christ, what he's telling us in John 2, what he demonstrates in Easter is, authority has shifted from the building to the body, from brick and mortar to the family of God. Christ is in the lead. His people in local congregations that cooperate, the hands and feet of Christ in the world. It's beautiful and it's elegant and it's simple. It is the grand vision of God made real in Christ. And it was a vision that was powerful enough to cover this globe and continues to grow. A vision clearly worth dying for. So I'm not sure what the church looks like after this crisis is over, or when the church in North America, and as it has in Europe, quits contracting. But I believe this, in Christ, new forms of being the people of God are always available and they're always viable. By the Spirit, the church will continue to flourish because of the Father's great love for people. The mission's not going to fail. We've been rocked by this health crisis, this virus, and there have been other things in recent years. There have been problems of racism and sexism and clergy misconduct, a decline in trust and authority in the church, in its presence, and those who serve it. And we've talked about that before, and we'll talk about it again. So it's a time of prayer to repent of past sin, but also to find new ways of being God's people in the world as it is. Time to pray and forge new alliances with brothers and sisters that we have alienated in the past, brothers and sisters in other traditions. What unites us is much stronger than what divides us or defines us in our smaller groups. It's a time to pray. I believe that together we will listen better to the Spirit, and that by grace we'll become far more teachable, far more adaptable, much more soft toward God and the ways of God. Time to pray for thy kingdom come, Lord. Thy will be done, thy authority, your authority, our comfort and our home. And then to celebrate loudly when we see it happen. Amen. We'll close with prayer like we did last time. If there are things you'd like me to pray for specifically, please submit them. We'll give this a try again as you're meditating.